I want us to look in 1 Samuel. And let's take a little look at David. And y'all like to stand. I'll read the text there and let y'all sit down if y'all want to.
Or y'all can stand up the whole time. It don't matter. I got to. Preacher got to stand up all the time. Why ain't y'all got to stand up?
Alrighty. 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 1. The Bible says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, "Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me." You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing. Father, we come to you tonight thanking you, Lord, for this another opportunity to stand before you. Lord God and your children, I pray, God, that you'd speak through us. I pray you'd take these lips of clay. I pray, God, that you'd say something tonight, God, that would help somebody in this building. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, put me in the cleft of the rock. Lord, that nobody would see me. Lord God, I pray the Holy Ghost would have free reign in this place, in this portion of Scripture, this portion of your holy writ. We love you tonight. We give you glory and honor and praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. Well, I want to do a little rundown now on David, and let's just take a look at him. You Bible studiers, you'll know all this, but maybe there's somebody in here that really don't know and hadn't studied much of the life of David. But we first see him coming on the scene back in chapter number 16. And we see that he is the youngest of all the brethren, all his brothers. He is the smallest. He's the prettiest. Says the Bible even says there in verse number 12, they had a beautiful countenance. And we see David there as a boy, as a shepherd boy. And we see him there at a time in his life, a high time, a time to where that Samuel passes by all his brothers and gets to little old bitty pretty David and comes over there right smack dab in the middle of it. You can read it later on, verse 13. And takes David right in the middle of all his other brothers and takes the horn of oil and anoints him king over Israel. Now, I don't know about you, and I guess we ain't supposed to get the big head, and I guess that's the way we're supposed to act, but we're supposed to act humble. I understand all that, you know. But if I was David around this time, I would imagine that that had to be a highlight in his life. Would you agree with me tonight? To be anointed as a young man as king over Israel, I'd have to say, That had to be pretty exciting. Well, we go on to the next chapter. We see him as shepherd boy in chapter 16. But in chapter number 17, as he takes the 10 loaves and the 10 cheeses and the parched corn down to the armies of Israel, we see him as a soldier boy. And we notice here that David arrives on the scene and everybody in the whole army of Israel is scared to death, including their captain, their king Saul is scared and don't know what in the world to do. And David asks the question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is it that he defies the army of Israel? Who is this that does this thing? And he goes down to the battle. We know the story and how that he cuts the head off of the Philistine, slings the rock and cuts his head off and gets the head of the Philistine in his hand and his sword in his other hand, and totes that head over to Saul. And I just have to say this, as all of the army of Israel is there on one side, and David standing down there on the bottom with the head of that big, huge Philistine in one hand and his sword in the other hand, that had to be an exalting time. That had to be a time in David's life to where he felt 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Amen? And I notice we go on here. As we go on in chapter number 18, in the first 7 verses, you'll notice there that David is once again exalted. David is once again brought up to spec, and as they march into town, and David's got that head there. The ladies and all the ones on the streets are like a ticker tape parade that you've seen in New York for World War II when the soldiers come home. David is walking through the streets, and they cry out, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And no doubt, as everybody in the whole entire nation of Israel is standing chanting David's name, no doubt this had to be a time when David was enjoying what was going on. You may have a time in your life to where you have defeated giants. You may can remember the time when the Lord anointed you. Whenever you got born again, whenever you got saved, you may remember that time to when you felt like a million bucks. You may remember a time when God used you and God done something through your life and God helped you and everybody was saying thank you and everybody was doing this and that to pat you on the back. But listen, I got news for you. Life a lot of times is like a roller coaster. Amen. You stand in line and wait to ride something that's going to last about 45 seconds. It all comes to an end. There's hills and there's good. There's valleys. There's things you go through. And listen, it ain't always rosy and sweet. So we see in chapter number 18, David is a saluted boy. And we notice how that at the end, David begins to be shot at in chapter 18. In chapter 19, we see him as a boy shot at. Boy, isn't it amazing how things can change from the mountain to the valley. Isn't it amazing how in just one chapter you're killing giants and everybody's chanting your name and the glory's all around you. In the next minute, somebody's done thrown 3 javelins at you trying to pin you to the wall. We see David as a boy that's shot at. Chapter number 20. Thank God there is a Jonathan when you're shot at. We see David in chapter number 20 as a sheltered boy. Jonathan looked after David. I'm glad. Thank God that Jesus is still on the throne. Thank God that He's still in charge. And I'm glad that He's a looking over us no matter what happens in our lives. So we see David as a sheltered boy, and how David was no doubt, all David ever wanted to do, I believe with all of my heart, and I'm trying to get somewhere, you hang in there. All David ever wanted to do, I believe, was serve Saul. I believe he wanted to serve him faithfully. I believe he wanted to give Saul his life. I believe David would have laid down his life for Saul in a minute. But God give him an enemy. We see back in chapter number 18, God put an evil spirit in Saul. I said, God put an evil spirit in Saul. And sometimes God will give you an enemy whether you think you need one or not. God is doing something in David's life that David can't understand and David can't figure out. And now David is in a place to where he's out in a field. And Jonathan said, listen, I'm going to get my bow and arrow and I'm going to shoot an arrow. And if it comes up short, everything's okay at home and you can come back and serve Saul. But if it flies beyond, he said, you better tuck tail and run and you better get out of here because Saul is going to try to kill you. And how it must have been a horrible day, that day that David was tucked down in the grasses. And how that he looked at that arrow and he saw it fly over his head. And he seen it go beyond the mark. And how that David must have wept that day and said, I'm on the run now. What have I done wrong? We see David fleeing. Chapter number 21, we see David as a scared boy. He's so scared, he runs down to Gath. The Bible says in verse 13 that he changed his behavior. And the Bible says that he fiend himself mad. Well, fiend himself mad means he made a fool of himself intentionally. He intentionally made a fool out of himself in front of everybody there at Gath, just so they'd leave him alone. He's scared to death. Scared to death. I know that. Listen, I know there's a spiritual crowd that said you ain't supposed to have fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of sound mind. Listen, but I ain't got there yet. I ain't arrived yet. So maybe you can help me after church. And so he's in such a mess. He was scrabbling on the wall, and he was letting spit run down on his beard. No, listen, David was at a place in his life to where he didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to go. He didn't know who he could trust. So the only thing that he knew to do was run. In chapter number 22, we see him as a sprinting boy. And he ran down to the cave of Adullam, and I believe with all of my heart, he felt like he had nobody. He felt like he could talk to nobody. And he ran inside of that cold cave and got by himself. And I believe he collapsed down on the stone of that cave. And he wept and cried and wept and cried and was scared to death. He thought Saul was after him and was going to get him. And he thought God had forsook him. And he thought God had left him alone. Listen, David was in a bad predicament. But I'm interested in that phrase in verse number 3 at the end. It says, "Till I know what God will do for me." And I have to believe as David, and I'm trying to get, listen, I have to believe as David walks in this cave, I believe that David thinks it's over. I believe David is wondering about everything that's ever happened in his life. I believe he's questioning everything. Anybody ever questioned things that God's done? Hey, Job did. Chapter number 3, he questioned God 5 times. He said, why? And I believe David fell on his face. I believe he was in a bad way. But listen to me, what God was doing with Saul, and God had Saul after David, out of His own providence, God put Saul in David's life because God didn't want another Saul to be king. He wanted David to be king. And He wanted to build David into the king that He wanted to be king over Israel. So we see, I want to preach on this thought tonight. God's not done yet. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what you're going through. The devil is very convincing. He can convince you that God has forgot you. He can convince you that God's nowhere within 100 miles of you. That He's left you alone. That there's no hope for you. No hope for your family. No hope for your children. No hope for anything, your job. But listen, the devil is a liar. And he'll lie straight in your face. But listen, God may be doing something behind the scenes. And you may never get to see it. You may go to the grave, but God's doing something, and God's going to bless, and God's going to help you. God's not done yet. David's misery in this cave was in a new foe. Back over in chapter 18, we see he slew a lion, the Bible says. He slew a bear. He slew a giant. A 9'6" giant. But now David's not dealing with these three obstacles. He's now dealing with his own flesh. The greatest of all enemies that you and I have, the greatest of all battles that you and I have ever faced or fight is the fight with our own selves. David had no problem with Goliath. David had no problem with the bear. He had no problem with the lion. But David always had a problem with his flesh. He's in a new foe, but he's also in a new field. Wasn't in the herd. Wasn't in the sheepfold. And it wasn't on the battlefield. It wasn't on the field and it wasn't in the front. But it was now in a cave. It's in a cold place. It's in a lonely place. In a place to where you felt like nobody was around. Anybody ever been there tonight? We're going to get out of this hole in a little bit. But we got to get in the hole before we can get out of it. Listen to me. Has anybody ever been to the place before that you had to weep yourself and cry yourself to sleep at night and wet your pillow with your tears before you could go to bed? Have you ever been to the place before that you felt like you was all alone and nobody cared and everybody forsook you, even that God wasn't listening to you? Listen to me. David had met that place and David had arrived at that place and David that didn't know what to do. And I believe that he was miserable in this place. And he did David's misery, but also let's look at David's mind now. Boy, isn't our mind an interesting thing. I believe if you put my mind in a jaybird, he'd fly backwards. I really believe that. Amen? That's the truth. Used to, somebody told me that, I'd take it offensive. But now, I'll tell you that myself. But our mind is it's an amazing organ. It's something else, our mind. You know that everything originates in this stinking mind. Everything originates, our thoughts, our deeds, everything that we do, it originates here. Our feet won't go where our mind don't tell it. Our hands won't do what our mind don't tell it. Our mouth won't speak what our mind don't tell it to speak. Our minds. And I believe David, as he was in this cave here, he was baffled in his mind. He was confused. What in the world? Has anybody ever been to the place where you said, what in the world is God doing? What in the world is going on in my life? Lord, you come over and sent Samuel to the backside of the desert to a field where I was tending sheep and anointed me king. Lord, you allowed me the power to kill the bear, the lion, and you allowed me the power to kill Goliath. What is going on? Anybody been on the mountain one minute and the next minute or the next week you was down in the valley so far you didn't know if you was going to come out? God's not done yet. David's mind, I believe he was baffled. I believe he was beat. And I believe he was broken. I believe David had no pride about him. I believe he had no oomph. I don't believe David went there. I don't believe David went there to begin with. To get it all together. I believe he went there to die. I believe he was trying. The Bible says in verse number 1 that he was escaping to the cave of Adullam. He was going there to get away from everything and trying to escape and trying to forget all of his problems. And many people in this day and hour are trying to escape and get away. Oh, but listen to me. God's got a plan and God's not done yet with your life. Don't give up on Him. He's still there. And just because you can't see Him don't mean that He's not working behind the scenes. We think God's got to give us the blueprints to our lives. But He ain't got to do that. And he was baffled and he's beaten, he's broken in his mind. But let's look at this. This blows my mind. Let's look at David's men. Let's look at his men. Now, verse number 2. David's down there in the worst shape he's ever been in his entire life. He's literally gone crazy, brother. He's literally a nutcase. He's lost his mind. He's literally, this cave of Adullam, he's in this insane asylum. And you think, surely to goodness God would send somebody down there that had it together. You think, surely, that God would send somebody down there with a frame on their wall with some a degree that can teach him something and help him to get out of the tracks that he was in. But guess who God sent him? Ain't that a blessing? Y'all already ahead of me. He sent them, it was, see there, distressed. You know what that means? He's worse shape than he was. Ain't that a blessing? You get in the lowest spot you ever been in your entire life. Don't know how you're going to get out. Don't know what you're going to do. Don't know which way's up or down. God will send you somebody worse than you are. That's the way God works. Hey, man, I'm telling you, that's the way it works. That's the way it works. What a blessing. Well, who else did he send? He sent them that was looking over their shoulders. You know why? Because the banker was looking for them. He meant they owed so much that they was on the run and they was trying to get away from those that was looking for them to pay their bills. They was in debt. Said, David, I know you got all kind of problems and I know you're here in the cave, but you think you can help me? There's somebody looking for me. Ain't God amazing? God's not done yet. And here's the best part of the whole shooting match. Not only the distressed and the ones in debt, but he also sent the ones that's discontented. You know who that is? That's the griping, grumbling, moaning and groaning, amen, belly aching crowd. Listen, they walked in the cave. They said, listen, David, ain't you got some kind of fire built? It's cold in here. David, you need something to lay on, some straw or something. Everything's hard in here. And the minute they walked in, they was griping, and they griped the whole time, and complained about everything. Ain't it a blessing who God sends your way when trouble comes to your house? Amen. Seem like God's trying to relay a message to David. It ain't going to be in these fellers. It's going to be in me. Oftentimes, we look for help in people. And it's a blessing to have friends. It's a blessing to have people that can help you. But listen, there'll be a time in your life, if you live long enough and you stay in this long enough, to where it'll be just you and God. I don't care if you're married. I don't care if you got 12 kids. I don't care who you know. I don't care if you've been a member of the church. You've got 3 pastors. Listen, I don't care who you are. There'll be a time in your life where it'll be just you and God. And you're going to be in the cave. And God's going to be the one that helps you out of your cave. God's not done yet. Hang in there. David's men. Isn't that something? But lastly, David's mastery. David's mastery. You know what his mastery was in? David, at the beginning of that thing, in verse number 1, he said, listen, I'm getting out of here. I'm quitting throwing the towel in. I'm adios amigos. I'm gone. I'm through with this mess. Verse number 3, he says, listen, take mom and them. Go over yonder and take care of them. I got to sit right here. And I got to wait and see what God's going to do for me. David's mastery was in waiting. Listen to me. God don't wear a Rolex. He don't wear a Timex. God don't know it. Listen, I don't know if you understand it or not. As soon as we leave, the atmosphere of earth, these little watches you got on your hand, they don't mean nothing. And God don't get in a hurry a lot of times in our life, and you may have to stay in the cave for a moment, a day or two, a week or two, or even a year or so before God comes where you're at. David said, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to wait till I know what God is going to do for me. His mastery was in just waiting on God. Don't get ahead of God. I tell you what else David's mastery was in. It was in these
men. Notice closely, and I'm almost done. Notice closely in verse number 2 at the end of it. This wasn't, well, I know we'd read those three there. The ones distressed and debt and discontented. We think three people, but listen, it says there was with him about 400 men. And their wives and children were all there. We know that because David's mama was there. So there's no telling how many is here at this place at this time. I mean, there's a slew of folks. But God is not done yet. In the beginning of this, in verse number 1, David thought it was all over with. David thought evidently Samuel had made a mistake. Everything's went chaos. Everything is crazy. I'm a nutcase. God's done. But listen, what he didn't know was what God had planned and what God was doing behind the scenes. Let me say this. Inject this right here. These 400 men here is arguably the most powerful army that Israel has ever had. These nutcases, these discontented, these distressed, these that's in debt. This is the army. This is the army that David used to fight all the battles so that his son Solomon, when he took the throne, would never have to fight a battle. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it something that God can take a place in your life where you think it's totally through and done and there's no hope? I'm in a cave. I throw my hands up. I'm done. I'm finished. And God can build something from that. And He can make the strongest thing to bring Him glory and honor out of your trial. Here's a mighty army. I don't know. I guess you could take Joshua's army. You could compare them to maybe, but they're still fighting after Joshua left the scene. When David left the scene, in 2 Samuel chapter number 2, the fighting ceased. And Solomon took the throne. And we see that Solomon never fought a battle. Solomon built a house for the Lord there. And Solomon had it made because Daddy was in the cave. And Daddy listened to God and waited on God. And Daddy was willing to fight so that his siblings, so that his sons could have a way out. Isn't that something? David's master was in waiting. And his warriors. I love David's life. I could stand here and preach to you for 4 hours. I love him. It reminds me of myself. Some of the ignorance. But God had a heart for David. More so than I believe anybody else in the Bible. I'm going to tell you why I believe that, because more chapters was written about David than any other character in your Bible other than Jesus our Lord. Do you know that? He loved David so much that whenever in Philippians his son took upon himself the form of a servant and took upon himself that robe of flesh and sent him down to this earth. He was to be born in the city of David. One of these days, you and I, we're going to be raptured up. Amen. It may not be long. It may be tonight. What a day that'll be. Amen. We're going to go to glory. We're going to heaven. And guess what? Revelation chapter number 4, there's a rainbow round about the throne and shot like unto an emerald. And there's one that sat upon the throne that set the look upon as a jasper and a sardine stone. Listen to me. You know what the name of that throne is? It's the throne of my father David. I'd say God's pretty pleased with him. I'd say God loved him. Sure, David made mistakes. Sure, he fumbled and dropped a ball, throwed some interceptions, did everything Georgia did yesterday. Got an old-fashioned kicking. David was wise. when he got in the cave and waiting. I don't want to say this in closing. David was the apple of God's eye. Anybody in here that studied your Bible, you'd know David's life. You'd say, why in the world David? Murderer, adulteress. I mean, prideful as all get out. Liar, fiend himself mad. We could go on and on. God said, that's the apple of my eye. And loved him. Loved him. Loved him. You may feel like a failure. You may feel like a flop. You may feel like God's forgot you. Every bit of it's a lie. Every bit of it's a lie from the pits of hell. God ain't forgot you. He paid. Listen, how could God forget you? He give His dearest thing that heaven had. God has not forgot you. He has not forsaken you. He give His Son for you. He let Him die, and He's not forgot you. And He knows exactly where you're at. You say, preacher, but I've been there for months. I've been there for years, and I still ain't heard from God. God has not answered me. Listen, I got news for you tonight. God's not done yet. Don't give up. Just take your seat in the cave and give Him glory. Write you a few psalms. Amen. Give Him praise to His name and wait on God, because God is working behind the scenes, a work that you cannot see. I want to say that tonight in closing. Maybe somebody in here, don't know what tomorrow holds. You've about got to the place to where you don't even care. You about give up on your church. You about give up on your family. You about give up on your own life, your marriage. You about give up on your children. You may have some wayward children. God is not done yet. You see, God, we think oftentimes that God's got to say, hey, I'm going to do this tomorrow if it's all right. Listen, I just wanted to let you know I'm going to do this in your life. God ain't got to do that. God, I ain't never had God do that. Matter of fact, what God will do is do things, and you'll see it later when it happens. Wherever you're at tonight, you ought to find your place in the cave and just wait on God. Stop trying to fix it yourself. Let God fix it. Let God take care of it. He's the only one that's got big enough hands to handle it. Father, thank you tonight.